It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by CG Technology Sportsbook.
Money won is twice as sweet as money.
Presented by WagerTalk.com.
Here we go. It is the Thursday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. Happy to have you with us. It is a beautiful day after yesterday's bleak outlook or a bleak weather. The outlook for today was bright and sunny and warm, and it is all of that. Perfect day here in Las Vegas. I'm Dave Koch, and Ralph Michaels is here. Jared Justice is producing this show, and it is our CG Thursday. Jason Zimbel is not going to be able to make it today. Pinch hitting from the CG roster will be Will Bernanke, the Moneyline guy, and you can follow him that way on Twitter, at the Moneyline guy. Before we get to him, let's talk about some of the things that took place last night. And one of them was, Teddy and myself talked about this yesterday on the show, Ralph, was that if ever there was a game that kind of screamed correlated parlay, it was the Golden Knights and Flames. Because if you thought the Golden Knights were going to win, it's probably going to be low scoring. And if you thought the Flames were going to win, it's probably going to be high scoring. And it worked out Golden Knights in under. The Stone Age now a perfect 5-0 for the Golden Knights since they picked up Mark Stone. And an important win, not for the standings so much as for the fact that they beat a team they might have to face in the playoffs and beat a winning team, which is something the Knights haven't had great success doing this season.
Well, you know, all of a sudden we were talking about how close Arizona was, and now we're 10 points clear. Yep. So, you know, now all of a sudden you set your sights to San Jose. You're 7 points behind, but the way it's going, you know, at least you know that that fourth team behind you is clear. You're playing with confidence, and we know what this team can do when they play with confidence, and when Fleury's playing to the level he's at, they can beat anyone in hockey.
Yeah, in fact, I think David Rittich, who had a terrible game on Tuesday, or I should say on Monday, I guess it was, he bounced back with a very strong performance yesterday. And kept Calgary in the game. Fleury was fantastic. He's given up one goal in three games. I mean, the guy's just playing, just on fire right now. But the nice thing, to me, more important than trying to catch San Jose in the standings is the fact that they're now so far clear in the wild card, they don't have to hesitate at all to put Malcolm Subban in for plenty of games down the stretch. You want to keep Fleury nice and fresh for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and now they're in a position where they don't have to go out and get 2 points every game. That's not to diminish what Subban's done. He's played good hockey, but you want your main guy rested going into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you want to let Fleury play as much as he wants to play, but yep. Absolutely, you know, when you have those couple games and couple nights. And you know what? I think Subban needs some confidence on the road. At home, he has a very good record. At road, I think he's 1-6 or something like that, where it's a negative record. Mm. So it'd be nice to put him on the road against a team that you expect to beat and give him some confidence in case you need him down the stretch.
I think so. And you want, look, he's got to be ready. You never know. Anything can happen in the playoffs, and we sure hope it doesn't. But these things do happen. It's a rough sport. And you want Malcolm Subban in good form heading into the playoffs just in case. The Lakers are not in good form. And they now look like they've just...
Turn out the lights.
Yeah, I think they've kind of quit at this point. And I'm not advocating just auto-fading them, but you can make a case that if you just play against... Well, hell, if you played against the Lakers every game this year, you won a Mercedes. And a real high-end one at that. So, I mean, they're a nightmare right now. And I don't think they care about any of these remaining games.
And this was a game LeBron was excited about. Passing Jordan was a huge deal. I mean, you know, stopping the game and making the announcements and showing that if you're embarrassed with that type of situation, they have a thought for you next year. When LeBron's with the Lakers and he passes Kobe, they probably hope it's on the road.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Somebody was talking
tonight. Let's break his record on the road in Cleveland or something.
Somebody was talking about that last night, and they were kind of working out the schedule with the possibility that if he's doing so many points per game or something like that, when the Cleveland game comes up, that's the perfect place for
him
to go out.
Breaking at Miami or at Cleveland and get some cheers instead of getting booed.
But if it's at Staples, is Kobe there to applaud him? You could put a prop up on that.
Yeah, it'll be we have better things to talk about, but interesting nonetheless.
That'd be fun. Fun props are a lot of fun. Let's talk a little college basketball because...
Crazy night.
A late comeback, and I mean an amazing finish by Seton Hall. Very well might have propelled the Pirates into the tournament. What was it, 18-0?
18-0,
18-0 at the end of the game against Marquette. That is a huge victory for Seton Hall.
I think it's a concern for Marquette. Now three straight losses. You're on the road, a team you were dominating. You finish dropping your last 10 shots.
Are they starting to get into that same... We saw this last year with Oklahoma, where Trae Young was such a dominant piece of the Sooners puzzle that at times the rest of the team was just standing around and watching him and waiting for him to do whatever he was going to do. Marquette's got a great player. He's one of the Player of the Year candidates. And you're almost seeing some of the similar stuff that we saw out of Oklahoma last year, where they're just relying on one guy to do too much right now.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Howard is special.
He's a great player.
He is Trae Young. He's a 6-foot point guard who controls the tempo, comes down and shoots often, and doesn't get his other players involved. Well, it came back to burn him last night. So, I have a future on Marquette that I made preseason. I mean, this was just one of my flyers. Marquette and Indiana were my two first props. Mm-hmm. One okay, one not bad. But I am concerned that Villanova loss now has carried over. Losing to Creighton at home is bad. Blowing that lead to Seton Hall is this. We'll see if they rebound against Georgetown. But they were playing with pressure from being that team that wasn't expected to beat Villanova in the Big East. Had the lead and now trailing.
And they'll be facing a Georgetown team that got humiliated last night at DePaul. So that might not be a great spot for them either. What a costly loss for Florida. They needed this win. I know they'd already beaten LSU in overtime on the road, but this was a very big loss for the Gators last night because they lost to Georgia over the weekend. You can't lose to Georgia and then lose this game on top of that, and they let it get away. I mean, it was a back-and-forth battle, but I watched a good portion of this game. I didn't have anything on it, and I'm glad I didn't because I was leaning to Florida in the game and would have lost it. They gave it away. They don't know how to close. Their offense bogs down when it needs to make a basket. It's a nice win for LSU, but this game was way more important. Despite the revenge factor, this game was way more important to Florida. They didn't get it done. I don't know if they're going to get in.
You know, you were also playing an LSU team that had pressure to win the SEC to keep tied with Tennessee.
Yeah,
I agree with you. If one loss is going to cost you getting in, it's probably the Georgia loss because losing to LSU by one. But
splitting with LSU
on that and blowing the lead.
I think it
does them in.
Creighton, they came back and they got an overtime when they tied. Friars tied it late.
They blew the lead.
Yep.
And then came back. Yeah.
And Creighton ends up getting the win and for some people the cover as well as they won by 6 in overtime. I think the line was 6 or 5.5. On that game. That's a big win for the Blue Jays, who are not dead yet as far as the NCAA tournament's concerned.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on them. They have enough to get it done. They're a team that needed to win at home. I mean, if you lose at home to Providence, that's going to put you on the opposite side of the bubble. But winning that and coming back was something that they felt the coach this morning in the paper thought it would help him move forward and really boost him into the tournament.
And a team, I just don't like this team. I think they fattened up early against a bunch of stiffs. They've had a few good games here and there, but NC State, last time I checked, was still a 10 seed. I don't even think they belong in the tournament, to be honest with you. If you look at their strength of schedule, to me, they have not done enough to get to the NCAA tournament. And they hurt themselves last night with a loss to Georgia Tech as a big favorite in the game. That's a terrible loss for NC State. I think I'm on an island on this one. But I can almost tell you now that on Selection Sunday, when we come in and talk about it on Monday, I'm going to point to somebody and say they got snubbed because they're not in and NC State is. I don't think NC State's a quality team.
Well, Ken Pom has them at 40.
Yeah.
So
they should be borderline at best.
Yeah, border. And you know what? If you don't beat Boston College on the road, then many more people are going to be saying exactly what you said. 13-1 was their start. 12-1 in non-conference play
against a very weak
schedule. Yeah,
I think it actually was the worst schedule of any Power 5 team in the country.
Well, they did beat Auburn. They did beat Penn State, but Penn State was atrocious back then, and now playing as good as anyone. Auburn is their only true win.
Yeah. And that's not the greatest win.
And that was one good game.
Yeah, and it's an okay win.
Against a fourth-tier SEC team.
Yeah, Auburn's not... It's turned out not to be as good as people thought they would be. Let's go to tonight's action, and we'll do that with our Thursday MJ Christensen Diamonds 4-4.
One, two, three. bring it to the folks.
Put them fours up. Put the fours up, I said. Do it right now.
Tonight's action is just around the bend, and the guys want to get your night off to a great start.
Four.
It's the Las Vegas Sports Lines. Four at four.
Not one, not two, not three, but four.
Unbelievable.
Lots of big games to look at. We'll look at this one in Connecticut as the Huskies play host to Temple, and it is a big game for Temple, a team that's on the bubble right now. They could really use a road win. The Huskies off a game that nobody wanted to win. The South Florida game on Sunday was just painfully ugly. Connecticut's offense is just terrible. Temple should be able to go in and win this basketball game. Here's the problem. Temple doesn't always deliver when you think they're going to. This has been a problem for Fran Dunphy's team for like 3 years running now, where they've just not gotten wins in games that are critical to them. And I would worry about that tonight with the Owls.
Well, you're only shooting 40% on the road for the year, so that's a bad number. And something to be careful of, I mean, UConn Kate played three or four games without Gilbert and Adams.
Right.
Okay. Gilbert came back three games ago. They covered the first two games. Then they went outright, breaking a seven-game losing streak against UCF. Adams has been practicing pregame, and they have not made an announcement when he's going to play. At some point, with both of those players back, Connecticut will win some games.
Yeah.
Be it Temple or be it East Carolina or be it in the tournament. Maybe they're holding him back until they get to the tournament. If he surprisingly comes back, you're going to find some value on these Huskies.
And Hurley is a good tournament coach, by the way. Yeah. He's proven that in his days at URI. Iowa and Wisconsin tonight. This is the back end of the suspension for McCaffrey, so he will not be with the Hawkeyes.
And a bad loss in the first game.
Ooh, that wasn't very good. Although Rutgers has shown that they're capable of playing some pretty good basketball. The bottom part of the Big Ten has actually been improving down the stretch. Wisconsin, you know, I can't trust them laying big points. And the number's fairly substantial here. So I'm not going to play the game. I really don't know what to do with this. I do know this. If it comes down to the end and it's a battle, Hack-a-Hap goes into motion. The guy can't make a free throw. And, that could be impactful in this basketball game. I think Iowa wants to make a better effort than they showed against Rutgers, too, even without McCaffrey.
I completely agree. Iowa's offense, though, has been inept the last five games. They've shot 41% the last five games. But how about this? I mean, Ethan Happ is Shaquille O'Neal shooting free throws.
Boy.
But he is only the fifth player with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 400 assists.
Oh, he's
the other four,
tremendous player.
Oscar Robertson,
wow.
Larry Bird, Danny Ferry, Stacey Augmon.
Pretty good group.
Very good group.
But they were all better at the foul line. By a lot.
Well, there's a lot of people. Ooh. There's not many people not better than him.
Blue Jackets and Penguins on the ice tonight. This is a big game in the NHL as these are two of the teams vying for the last two playoff spots, the wildcard spots in the Eastern Conference. It looks like, to me, the Penguins are going to get the public money in this game. I don't know. The Blue Jackets are a funny team because if you... First of all, they're better on the road than they are at home. I can't explain that, but they just are.
18-11.
Yeah.
Their last 29 games as an away dog with an average line of plus 124. If you're 18-11 at plus 124, yeah, you're making some money.
Yeah, and that, to me, is the... I just don't know what to do with the game. I think the Penguins find a way to win it because they're the Penguins, and they've got these veterans who still know how to get it done at crunch time, and they have won a couple of games in a row, which is of some significance. And Columbus should be better than they are. And I'm not pinning the blame on Tortorella because I think he's done a good coaching job. This team just finds a way not to win hockey games, and I suspect it could be the case again tonight. This is a really big game, though, and I think it's the national TV game on NBC, and I'm going to watch this one.
Well, you know, we talk about the Stone Age, and getting a new player in doesn't automatically mean you're going to make a run. Columbus, we didn't know if they were going to be sellers or buyers. We had a couple players with free agents that they held on to. They acquired four players, but they're only 2-3. The problem I have is you want to talk about series domination.
Oh, boy.
Pittsburgh has won seven straight, and they're 11-1 the last 12 against Columbus. I think whoever wins this game, they're playing a home-and-home here on Saturday. I think whoever wins this game, the other team wins on Saturday.
And that's the case that I'm rooting for Columbus. because that way I get the Penguins as a road dog over the weekend, and Columbus doesn't play as well at home. And we'll look at the Pacers and Bucks. We're going to save the other NBA TNT matchup for later on in the show in the marquee matchup. Pacers and Bucks, though. Here's the Bucks coming off a bad game. The Pacers, however, I think they've only lost six games, something like that, by this spread all season. They just don't get blown out. And that makes it tough to lay this kind of a number.
Well, you know, something I looked up and I want to share it. It's not a great number, but maybe other people thought this. Teams that have played at least five straight road games,
yep,
and they're coming home as a double-digit favorite. 21-16, 57%.
That's not bad.
I actually thought it would be the negative.
So did I.
I thought you come home, you make an adjustment. So I share that with you. It's nothing you're going to bet on, but that's since 2014. So we have a few years of base in there. And I will say this. Milwaukee lost back-to-back games for the first time all season. They shot 38% at Utah, shot 36.8% against Phoenix. It's a rare spot where I would back a double-digit favorite.
Time to go to CG Sportsbooks for our Behind the Counter report on Thursday, one of our most popular features all week long. Lots of other good stuff to talk about as well with the Moneyline guy, Will Bernanke. What's going on, Will? How are you?
Oh, great, Dave. How's it going over there?
Good. And listen, I know you guys are all excited about this event. I guess it started last year, and you're going to do it again this year. Hoops and Hops at the Cosmopolitan. And this is, if you're going to be involved in March Madness as a bettor or as a fan, there might not be any place better, even at the locales where they're playing the games. This might be better than that.
Oh, it's incredible, yeah. The Hoops and Hops at the Cosmo, you have an open bar. And what I like is you can purchase a single-day pass or even a three-day pass. And, first-come, first-serve seating for that. But if you do want reserve seating, which you can get, too, you can call 702-698-6797 so you can lock yourself in and we're a place to see all the games.
All right, we'll give you that number again later on in this portion of the show for those who might be driving right now and can't write it down.
And as Jason reminded us, a mini sports book right outside the front door when you're betting. You don't need to run down to the main facility, walk outside and bet in the hallway.
But if you're smart, you got the app.
You got the app.
So
exactly. That
won't matter. You can just sit there on one of those couches and cocktail all day long and enjoy the games, bet them, have a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast. We'll tell you more again. We'll give you the phone number again later on. Let's talk a little MLB futures. What's been happening as far as who's getting action right now on both futures and over and under win props?
Okay, well, we'll start with the futures. And some of these teams you'll recognize and some of the teams you'll be shocked to hear. World Series right now, we'll start with World Series futures. Most tickets written, surprise, surprise, the Cubs and the Yankees. Cubs, we know why. Yankees, you know, with their moves they made in the offseason, just popularity. To win the NL, the Cubs and the Brewers have the most tickets. Mm. But to win the AL, Yankees and these two teams out of the blue, the Twins and the White Sox.
Wow. White Sox.
I believe the White Sox came in with the anticipation of them signing at least one, if not both, of the free agents in the offseason.
Yep. And, of course, that didn't happen. I don't want any part of that one, although I will tell you that I'm hoping the White Sox will win today, and they're up 5-1.
There you go.
I'm a White Sox fan for one day anyway.
Yeah.
How about on the other side, on the unders, as far as win props are concerned, who's the market bearish on?
White Sox, believe it or not.
Really?
Just
the opposite.
Yeah, 76-74. A lot of under tickets on the White Sox. I just think that number came out too high to begin with, and some savvy bettors jumped on it right away, considering just how bad the White Sox were last year, and really they haven't done that much in the offseason to improve their team as well as their top pitching prospect. He's out right for the year. That Kopech.
Although if you're a White Sox fan, you got to hope this is the year Carlos Rodon puts it together.
Yeah, injury issues with him too.
Yep.
Exactly. And as far as people just love those overs, the win totals, and the Reds with all the moves they made, with 76.5 to 78.5, a lot of tickets written there. Phillies, we adjusted before they signed Harper, but since the adjustment, seen it gone from 88 to 89.5. So. There's a lot of over bets there. Padres, of course, with Manny Machado, 74.5 to 78, a lot of action there. And we have some division odds, to win the division. Phillies to win the NL East is right now have the most tickets written of any team to win their respective division.
But, that fascinates me because, and I'll make this quick because I want to get into the other stuff, but if Donaldson stays healthy for the Braves, That is a lethal 3-4 combo with him and Freddie Freeman. And their young pitching staff, to me, should improve. I got to tell you something. If with the buzz that's out there that Craig Kimbrell is going to end up someplace in the National League East, I think I'd wait to see where he signs before I bought a ticket.
Sure. And the Braves, I mean, they didn't do anything, you know, really sexy in the offseason, but maybe they didn't really need to.
I don't know. Donaldson's pretty sexy if he stays healthy. I mean, if that guy can play 140 games.
Yeah, he can hit. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he can catch. He can field the ball, too. Donaldson's a great player. It's just a question of his health.
And, Dave, we're going to preview the Mets coming up here, and they're going to get many more wins than they had last year. No
One
question.
Would think.
Yeah.
You would think, right, if they can, keep their manager longer, longer than we all predict there, because Jim Riggleman brought in. I feel like he's a manager in waiting sitting next to Mickey Callaway.
You know, moving to VJK and now 5-0 since the Stone Age, and are we starting to see some of that momentum back, or did they really have that momentum and just it faded for a little bit?
No, it's definitely coming back. Last night, the Knights went off as $1.60, I believe, favorite, and they opened at $1.45, so you can even see it from a game-by-game basis, and last night being the case, because a team like Calgary, you would think you'd get somewhat balanced action, but that wasn't the case with the line move and the money. So definitely coming in on the Knights on a game-by-game basis, and also some futures as well. Nothing crazy, but we're starting to see some more tickets ever since they got stoned.
Will, just off the top of your head, what's an average quick percentage of people that bet VJK on the money line or on the puck line?
Who's VJK?
Did I say VJ?
You just said J.
I slurred my word. That's fine.
Right.
You gotta talk
Ralph speak. Right, yeah. The percentage would be, it's about 75-25, I'm going to say. 75% money line, 25% puck line.
The Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
How much of aggravation is there from that standpoint? Look, I know you guys are all going to do well with the Lakers stuff that was bet prior to the season. But at the same time, is this going to impact the volume of NBA playoff betting, at least in the early rounds, because there are no Lakers around?
No, I don't think so. I think there's enough stars in the league now where bettors are certainly intrigued by some of these matchups. You know, some new teams, some new blood in there with Denver going to be in the playoffs now, be somewhat of a factor. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the Bucks in the East. And some of your traditional teams still in there. You know, the Rockets, and I think people have actually bet this playoffs more than we think, because the Rockets look like a team that could give the Warriors a great series like last year, maybe even beat them. So you don't have that sense this year that the Warriors is going to walk through everybody. At least bettors may think that.
Time to go behind the counter with tonight's action. We'll get a quick rundown on where the action is on these games, whether it's drop money, public money, whatever's happening. Pacers and Bucks, the first one we'll look at.
Yeah, right now the ticket count's fairly even, but the dollars are 60% on the Pacers. So bettors are taking down to 10. They're taking the double digits with a pretty good team.
You know, we have a traditional TNT doubleheader where there's only two games tonight. So the other game is Thunder Blazers. Obviously, you're going to have a little more volume on those two games being the only action in the NBA.
Yeah, and this game is a little lopsided with the favorite here. Ticket count 70% on Portland, and the money is 78% on the Blazers. So it looks like we're going to need the Thunder here, come 7:30, 7:40 when it tips.
Temple and UConn matching up in college basketball. It's a big game for Temple. It's as simple as that. They really need this win if they want to try and get their at-large prospects better than what they are right now. They're still in the hunt, no question about that. Is the public buying that angle?
Yeah, the ticket count, I actually was kind of surprised here. Ticket count was fairly even, but 75% of the money's come in on Temple, considering that they need this game, and UConn is pretty much, unless they go on some crazy run in their conference tournament, they're not making the NCAA. So looks like we're going to need UConn here, and most of the money's coming in on Temple.
Two of the six teams in the Big Ten with 20 or more wins match up, Iowa and Wisconsin. Of course, Iowa without their head coach, any effect on the betting line or normal action as you would see it?
No, they're on the dog here. High number for a team that's 21-8. Right now, ticket count is 70% on Iowa, and the dollars are 80% on Iowa. So it looks like right now we're going to need Wisconsin, which is a rare instance, like a public dog here.
We got a must-win game here, I believe, Cincinnati at Central Florida. UCF, they really helped themselves with the performance against Houston, and they could help themselves even more if they can beat Cincinnati tonight. What's happening in the market?
Yeah, this was early on. It was all UCF money, but we've seen some Cincinnati money come in the last couple hours, and it's going to be a fun conference tournament with Cincy, UCF, and Houston, you know, in that American tournament there. But 60% of the money still, 60% of the tickets still on UCF, and the money's about even right now.
Well, anyone explain to me how Indiana could be 3-11 their last 14 Big Ten games and beat Michigan State twice and Wisconsin?
And they're back in the hunt for the tournament.
Yeah. I can't explain it. But Illinois, we know, has a young team that continues to play hard for Brad Underwood. Tell us about this game.
I think you guys would figure, I'll tell you this, and you probably would have said it before I did. The ticket count's 3-1 in Indiana, and the dollars right now are 62% on Indiana. So they're betting that the hot team here, or sort of hot for Indiana, you know, for them, and they're getting points here. So bettors are on the short dog.
We always like to touch on the Pac-12. We will do so as UCLA plays Colorado. You know, I guess it'll get some attention from the bettors because they'll be able to watch the game. But let's just say the UCLA volume isn't what it used to be.
Not even close. It's somewhat of an afterthought now, which, you know, never would think in a million years that'd be the case. Betting here is, even though the line's gone down, the ticket count and the dollars are all on Colorado. It's right now 82%. So well, looks like we may need UCLA. Bettors have somewhat given up on them.
And the doubleheader in the Pac-12, USC traveling to Utah. Utah team with all offense this year. USC, another up-and-down team. So tell us about this matchup.
Yeah, this one's shaping up as like a pros versus Joe scenario here with ticket counts 82% on USC and money is about 60% on Utah. So this is one of those scenarios where some of our sharper bettors are taking Utah and the public bettors taking USC.
Point guard situation unknown for USC tonight. Porter, I don't know if he's playing or not.
Yeah.
That might be addition by subtraction. He's been awful for them. Just
USC's
absolutely terrible.
Two road wins in the Pac-12 this year, Washington State and Cal, and that's it.
Yeah, so. And it's really, well, I've seen enough of this team to watch to make the assessment that their point guard position has been such a problem for them this year. That's why USC won't be in the NCAA tournament. They could never find a point guard. They just ought to go to the freshman at this point and see what happens. Any of the conference tournament games getting any significant play?
Right now, nothing crazy. Did see some Fairfield money pop up earlier today. Nothing lower volume, but some Fairfield money come in, a little sharp money on Fairfield. But other than that, these games have been pretty balanced or just low volume. I think the bettors are waiting for these smaller tournaments to have some of the better teams playing, or the tournament finals, of course, but some of the better teams. I think that, you know, like Lipscomb, that's a really good sleeper team.
Listen, I mean, if you get a Belmont-Murray State matchup in the OVC, that's going to get a lot of action.
That'll rival any big conference game, really, believe it or not.
Yeah, a lot of people know about Murray State because of Morant, who's an amazing player. And, you know, Rick Byrd's done this for so many years with Belmont. He's a great basketball coach, and that could be fun if they make it to the finals against one another. Once again, Hoops and Hops, and I'm glad you have the phone number, so if people want to write this down and make their reservations and get in on what should be an absolutely phenomenal event.
Yeah, the phone number is 702-698-6797 if you want to reserve your seating for the Hoops and Hop event. And but, you know, as far as betting goes, you don't want to have to leave your seat too many times and wait in those long lines, so make sure you download the app, sign up for an account. We have a $68 bonus right on through the NCAA tournament. So make sure you sign up. It's up $68, and definitely take advantage of that, and you can turn that into thousands right away, right, all these games.
There you go. And that's like if you deposit 68, you get 68? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, up to 68, right.
So not bad, huh?
68 or higher, that's the cap.
Free money. Take advantage of it. Well, good job, as always. And we'll mention, by the way, that Will usually does the Wager Talk podcast on Thursday, and gets a lot of this information out, but there is no Wager Talk podcast today. Marco's in Arizona watching baseball. Ralph and myself said, the hell with him. We're not going to do it. And so, Will, you got the day off from that show. Great job today on this show.
Yep, no, that definitely looking forward to it. I'll be in Arizona myself next week to see some games.
Ah, there you go. Any team in particular you want to watch?
Yeah, San Diego. I want to see Machado play.
I'm telling you something. Do you see I just saw this yesterday. They've already done like an additional $4 million in ticket revenue. Just since Machado signed. I'm telling you, it's no longer going to be a cinch to get great seats for Padres game at less than face value.
No, and what people don't think about either is that the season tickets, all that, it pays for itself, the guy's salary. So when they say, oh, they're overpaying for a player, you're actually making that up real quickly and even more, you know, above and beyond that.
Awesome stuff, Will. Have a great day, man.
You too.
Will Bernanke, follow him on Twitter at the Moneyline Guy. Today's Big League Baseball preview is on the Mets, and that's next.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Hornway, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
One of my buddies is coming to Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. Before he even gets here, it's like, when are we going to Joe's? Because where he's from, they don't have a Joe's there. So, but he gets out here once a year, and he loves that restaurant. Who doesn't? Joe's is awesome. 702-792-9222 is your phone number to make a reservation. Ralph, what do you got?
You know, we're going to use a total tonight in college, and it's game 603-604. Temple and UConn, a game we talked about in the 4-4. UConn, 8 straight unders, 1-9 over-under their last 10 at home. Temple, 0-4-1 over-under. We talked about them. 0-4-1 over under their last 5 on the road. Talked about them only shooting 43% on the road. Low-scoring game tonight. Game, again, 603-604. Temple and UConn under 141.
All right. That's Ralph Michaels. I'm Dave Koken. Jared Justice is producing this program, and thanks to Will Bernanke, part of the CG Group, CG Sportsbooks, that joined us in the first portion of the show. Time to look at the New York Mets. And last year, it was basically, let's watch Jacob deGrom. And that's it. There was no other reason to watch the baseball team. Not the case this year. This is a team that, if they can keep their bodies on the field, Ralph, they're going to be an improved team.
Well, you know, Jacob deGrom, 14-18 with a 1.7 ARA. That's what happens when you have the worst batting average in baseball. Mm. They were tied with Philly. And, you know, it's a team that they have an over-under win total of 86 after being, you know, that many games under because of all their additions.
They've made some, I mean, look at these new players. Wilson Ramos is a terrific pickup at catcher. Got to keep him on the field.
Yeah.
But he can hit 300. He's a good defender. He's got power. I mean, he's a big, big upgrade at catcher. And they got Mazzarocco to back him up, which is a good role for Mazzarocco. He can give you 50 games and do a decent job as the backup. First base is an issue right now because Frazier's hurt. I don't know about J.D. Davis or Dominic Smith. It kind of looks like it might be a platoon at first base to start the season. Robinson Cano, though, don't you know, Robinson Cano, he's back in New York, and he can still rake.
303 last year in 80 games. So, you know, you had Ramos and Cano, 200-300 hitters to a team that had none last year and batted 234. So clearly add Lowry to the mix and you added 3 big bats to that team.
Now Lowry is hurt, which, you know, it stands to reason if you're on the Mets, you're probably hurt. I mean, it's just amazing. And Frazier, of course, I mentioned is hurt. So I don't know what they're going to do at third base to start the season. Ahmed Rosario is coming on at shortstop. He's a good young baseball player. Left field, we don't even talk about Cespedes at this point. But Jeff McNeil, who really did well for this team, down the stretch last year, he's going to have a place in the lineup. Who knows? Maybe he even ends up at third base if they have to. He can play all over the place. They've got Rajay Davis, who's having a pretty good camp from what I can see, and he can still contribute as a spear outfielder or a platoon outfielder. Brandon Nimmo, I think, impressed a lot of people last year. Right field still looks like a problematic area to me. I am not a big Michael Conforto guy, and they don't have a lot at that position. And that, I think, could be one of their problem areas. And that's why I still, as much as I do think the Mets are improved, and we'll talk about the strength of the team, which is the pitching staff, there are still a couple positions that really worry me on this team.
Yeah, well, again, you know, when you have the pitching staff you have, you're just trying to play good defense, score 4 runs a game, and all of a sudden you're going to improve your record by 15 wins.
And the biggest improvement might be the bullpen. Because they've gone from a Mets bullpen that was really dicey to now having he's in the mix for the conversation for the best closer in baseball, and Edwin Diaz. That is a huge pickup for the Mets. They're not going to have to sweat late innings. Familia is back with the team. He can be the setup guy. You've got Gesellman, Lugo. These are guys who were forced to close last year and weren't made for that role. But now you can slide those guys into more complementary roles, pitching fifth, sixth, seventh innings. It's definitely an area of strength with Diaz. I mean, there's no reason to think that he's not going to still be great for the Mets. And if they're ahead into the late innings, they're going to be tough to catch this year.
Yeah, I mean, they were a team last year that you almost, if you liked the Mets in a game, you had to bet them first five innings.
Yeah.
I mean, you were silly not to bet them first five innings. Now, all of a sudden, you know, these pitchers, you know, pitching with confidence is a whole different story. When in the fourth and fifth and sixth innings, you can pitch with confidence, know that you can give your all and leave the game, and they can hold the lead. It adds to the whole dynamic team. To your roster.
Well, yeah, because the offense doesn't feel like they have to go out and score eight runs every game to get the win.
Yeah.
Because you have that pressure on you, and you're probably not going to be as effective. No, I don't know that I can. I don't think I could possibly bet the Mets over that win number. But I'm not so eager to bet them under it either. I think I there's a good chance I'm not going to make any bets in the NL East right now, unless the Kimbrel thing happens for somebody and changes the dynamic. I think if Kimbrel ends up back in Atlanta, that could be really good for the Braves. Philadelphia really doesn't need him. Washington, I don't know. But if Kimbrel ends up back with the Braves, that could be big.
You know, you have one of those situations. You're what? You're your 50th anniversary from when you won the World Series. You have players like Carlos Gomez, who signed a minor league contract just to come back because he thinks the team's going to be improved. I mean, the guy was an all-star in 4-13 and 14.
That's a
worst year
ago.
Ever last year. I mean, but, you know, when you have players that want to play with your team because they think they're good, there's something special that can happen if they get off to a good start. I think April is the most important month for them.
I think I can buy that.
Get that confidence, start early, not be under 500, be 500 or better coming into the month. Give all these new young players confidence, and I think they could be a special team moving forward.
So are you considering backing the over on them?
You know, it's such a big jump from last year. I'm really one that looks at the last few years, what you did, and for you to make a 15-game jump, I can't bet on it. I'm rooting for them, and I like them, and I'd like to see some new blood there, but you know, like you said, Atlanta improved, Philly improved. Washington hasn't dropped as much as everyone.
No, I think the Nationals are going to be a pretty good team.
So you're going to beat yourself up. You know, it would be one of those things that if they got off to a hot start, I might jump on the bandwagon, but I wouldn't bet them now.
Good stuff. I think we both are optimistic about the Mets, but not convinced yet that they can be a playoff team. But they look like they'll be in the mix. We'll come back. These two teams could meet down the road someplace. They have identical records in their meeting tonight in the NBA. Oklahoma City at Portland, our marquee matchup next.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
And with John Lyons from Lyons Physical Therapy, and it's not just you at LPT. You've got a staff of really experienced, qualified people.
Yeah, Dave, we have three other physical therapists on staff with combined over 50 years experience with those other three physical therapists. Our therapists specialize in different treatments. We do some trigger point dry needling. We do a lot of manual therapy involving massage, joint mobilizations. We also have physical therapy assistants and massage therapists that help treat our patients' injuries.
LyonsPTLV.com, 702-476-0222. If you've got a piece of jewelry that needs repair, what do? Go see Cliff Miller at MJ Christensen, and they can do the repairs.
Absolutely. Since 1939, where does Las Vegas go to have their treasures repaired and maintained? MJ Christensen Diamonds. We take care of everything. I love that because you come to me with a problem and you leave problem solved.
MJ Christensen, something special for the love of your life. Located at Boca Park. Follow us on Facebook for exclusive offers.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
And we will look at a good NBA matchup tonight. The back end of the doubleheader on TNT. These teams have identical records, so it should be a fun game as Oklahoma City takes on the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, you know, Dave, you talked about Portland. Portland was on that run out east, and you said the last game against Memphis, they had been on the run. They had been on a long trope. You said beware, and they exactly did that. They had a lead. They blew it in the fourth quarter. But you're looking at an OKC team that has failed to cover seven straight games now. That's
not
why you're
playing
seeing
much defense.
Yeah, but I will say this. Portland was actually the Wager Talk stat sheet best bet today.
It's
just a technical play based on the last 14 record, last 2 weeks or last 14 days, and with OKC 0-7 ATS and Portland doing well, obviously it was just a play. But Paul George came back last game. Yeah. He had a very poor game. He was rusty, but now he has that game under his belt. He's back fresh. You're going to see that OKC team that was prior to the pre-George injury. So buyer beware on that Portland Blazer team.
You know, the other thing tonight, I love the fact that they're just doing the two games in the NBA, and it's a true TNT doubleheader. Okay. I think all four teams will be excited to play tonight because they know they've got big audiences, national spotlight, all the NBA
got
fans.
Got the eyes on you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the NBA fans are going to watch these two games, especially out here on the West Coast because, you know, it's in the middle of the evening. Why not watch Portland, Oklahoma City? It's not like the Golden Knights aren't playing tonight. So I think right here in Vegas we'll have a pretty good audience for this game. I think you get a good effort out of these two teams in a situation like this, and it could be a really fun game to watch. Those games, I have a tendency to look at the dog because I think they're going to come down to the wire. Now, take that with the entire canister of salt because I really didn't look at this game specifically. That's just the way I kind of feel in games like this, sort of spotlight games with two teams that are evenly matched. I think it plays out evenly.
Yeah, with OKC, I mean, I read their paper. I didn't get a desperation mode. But you are 1-5 your last six games with your only win is against Memphis.
But you got Paul George.
That's not good ball.
Well, but now George is back. He's got the game under his belt.
Yep.
And we know that, I mean, it's one of the more compelling stories of the year. Paul George looked like his career might be over with that injury.
What a comeback.
He has had a phenomenal season. He's going to finish third in the MVP balloting, right?
You know what? He and Westbrook just work off each other so well. I mean, Westbrook's playing so well because of George, and George is playing so well because of Westbrook.
I love it. I think that's just a great story because I thought, especially since he's had a few other injuries, he's not as young as he used to be. I thought when he got hurt, I was thinking, oh boy, we might have seen the last of him.
I compared him, in my mind, to Carmelo Anthony.
Mm.
Yep, I agree with you. So
good story.
Good to see him back.
Good matchup tonight, Portland and Oklahoma City. Let's get you a quick... I haven't done this all year. Okay, we haven't done this all year. I'm going to do it today for the first time. It's that time of year. I'm going to get you a Major League Baseball update. Exhibition action. We've got... had a sellout today, I believe, between the Angels and Dodgers. That's a split squad game. And the Dodgers winning 6-2. It's not a full house anymore. A lot of the fans have left because the regulars are out of the game. But the Dodgers are leading that game 6-2 in the middle of the eighth inning. In progress, the Angels' other squad is leading the Kansas City Royals 7-3. The Rockies are leading the Cubs 7-4 in the top of the ninth inning. The Padres lead the Rangers 9-8, a wild one. Padres are the home team in that game. San Diego up.
It was
in
just 9-5.
Well, now it's 9-8. Somebody must have hit one out for the Rangers. 9-8, bottom of the seventh. White Sox just got a home run from somebody whose name I've already forgotten. I'd never heard of him before, but it made me happy because I was very unhappy during one of the breaks. The White Sox had blown a 5-1 lead, but now they're back on top 9-5.
We weren't even on the air, and Jared had to beep it.
I know. Indians lead the Diamondbacks 4-3. That is in the bottom of the eighth inning, so these games are nearing their end. And earlier, I think we got night games tonight. Mariners and Reds is a night game. Athletics and Giants are night games, so we're getting into closer to the regular. And don't forget, you've got that early start.
What
for a
happened
couple
to
of
your
teams.
Red Sox as a 175 favorite today against Minnesota? Oh, they lost 12-1.
Okay, good. Get the bad games out of the way now. Phillies beat the Tigers 3-1. Astros beat the Marlins 4-1. The Yankees shut out the Phillies 6-0. Looking forward to the Harper debut this weekend. Blue Jays beat the Rays 11-2. And the Pirates beat the Orioles 5-4. And the Nationals beat the Mets 6-4. And that Twins score against the Red Sox was 12-1. Who cares?
Like you said, doesn't matter now.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Who was the losing pitcher? Oh, it was Johnson. Okay. Now he's probably not going to make the team anyway. So, all right, let's go to our Lions physical therapy play of the day.
It's the LPT play of the day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy. Your 5-star rated specialists.
Now, have you ever heard of hook grips? Have you ever heard of hook grips?
No.
Neither have I, but...
What team does he play for?
No, it's hook grips, something that can help your pain and condition. And this is a treatment that's being used by the Yankees, U.S. Track and Field, the Cubs, Duke University Athletics, among others. And it's now available at Lions Physical Therapy. Follow them on Twitter, and you can get more information on it, at LionsPTLV, or that's their website as well, LionsPTLV.com. Good stuff. We're going to talk about one of the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference games. It is Niagara and Monmouth. I don't think you'll see a repeat of the first game these teams played, as that was a 27-point win for Niagara, where they went absolutely nuts in the last 10 minutes of the game. This will probably be closer, but just on my numbers, for what it's worth, I think they favored the wrong team in the game. The opening number was 2.5. It kind of sat there till this morning. It got bet down to 1.5. I think Niagara's the better team, and I made it. And my numbers are at this time of year, they're more based on current form than season-long form, and more based on conference-only results as opposed to entire season. And I have Niagara -3 in a neutral court, so
there
I played Niagara.
There are a handful of those lines for those smaller colleges that I agree. They're not based on current form, but year-to-date records.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be a close game in all likelihood. That's the Metro Atlantic Conference. We're done. See you tomorrow.